Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them whole tests the father of medicine.
Peace, everyone, and welcome to Dynasty Radio 1382. You are now listening to Food for Medicine. Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure again to see everybody here again, or to hear you again today on this beautiful Friday. We're going to get into another dynamic topic for you today, dealing with the health of our community through using our food. Now, we always like to start off our show with a purpose, and to do this, we always give the audience a premise. So the premise of Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use food as it was intended by our ancestors. This show was designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe. Welcome again, everyone. My name is Dr. Phoebe Adiro, and I'm one part of your host for the show today, my sister KJ, or Kenya. She's not going to be joining us right away. She may chime in a little later, but I think it might just be you and me today. But that's okay, because like we always do, we hold it down when one of us isn't here, right? So for those who have been with the Dynasty family, it's so wonderful to have you back with us. And for those of you who are new to the Dynasty family, I give thanks for your presence, and you are going to be in for a treat if you haven't listened to the show. As always, we always bring you the information. Now, just to kind of get rid of some housekeeping or to get some housekeeping out of the way, please check out the Food for Medicine Facebook page and like us on Facebook. So just type in Food for Medicine in the search and like us on that. And I also have a Facebook page for my practice called Nkingu Health, which is N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U, health. And then you can also check me out on my website, which is Nkingu, N apostrophe, or not apostrophe. It's Ask Dr. Adiro, A-S as in safflower, K-D-R-A-D-I-R-O .weebly.com. And that is my personal webpage that you can contact me on if you have any questions or concerns, or if you want to see a list of my services and other things that I provide. Also, for the Dynasty Network, if you would like to contact us, we do have a website as well, which is dynastynetwork.net. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can go on that website and contact us there to list whatever it is that you need to tell us. We also love to hear show ideas, any other ideas that the audience has that can improve our shows. And then you can also see updated information about the other wonderful shows, one of the wonderful revolutionary shows that we have on Dynasty Network that address other issues that the black community has. So, also, remember, this is a live call-in show, so if you have a question or a comment anytime during the talk today with me, you can call this number, 646-716-7000. 7572, and then you'll be prompted to press the number 1. That is if you want to speak. So if you want to raise your hand, if you have a question or something, press number 1. But if not, you don't have to press anything. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. But, of course, don't relax without your pen and your paper, of course, because like I always do, you know I go in, you know I bring the information. So make sure that you have something to record. But it's okay, even if you miss the show or if you miss something that I said, you can always go back into the archives and listen to it at a later time. So now, let's get into our topic because, like always, I have plenty of information. I always make a list for myself, y'all. I promise I do. But I usually get to going and I get, you know, I give way more information than I intended because things just come to me. So, because I'm passionate about it. So, and real quick, let me introduce myself formally for those of you who are new to the Dynasty family. So my name is Dr. Ephesia Dero. I'm a naturopathic physician, which means that I'm a primary care doctor who uses holistic therapies like acupuncture, hydrotherapy, and my passion is using nutrition, diet, and botanicals or herbs in order to bring the body back into balance. Because in my opinion, if the diet is not in order and not supportive to you, then pretty much any other therapy you do on top of that is not going to be efficient or effective. So that is why me and my sister usually, who's not here with us, but she's here in spirit, we bring the information to you every week because we want our community to be wonderfully and fabulously, vibrantly healthy. And we can use our food as that foundational aspect to our health. Now, today's topic is food for fertility. And I always like to tell people why I've been inspired to do a certain topic for the day. Well, I have been inspired. I mean, I always am interested in things that make us fertile because fertility just means that more Black people, more African people will be put forth into this world to make it even more fabulous. So fertility is big, 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 especially because the world, not everyone in the world is our friend, and not everybody wants African people to continue to be as abundant as they are. So there have been a lot of programs and efforts put forth to make the population of African people reduced. And this is something that I've been recently discussing more with some friends of mine. I actually went to Las Vegas this past weekend and was able to with some wonderful people that gave me more information than I thought that I already think I have. I already have a lot of information in my head, but we always have room to gain more information. So Brother Kitty Awadu, better known as the Conscious Rasta, and his wonderful partner, Terry, they were all just giving me all this information about, you know, fertility movement and how actually, Western nations, especially like Europe and America, they are getting more interested in fertility because their populations are actually decreasing, which we know. We know that people of color are the majority in the world. But, you know, European people, Western people are more so looking at their fertility because they're trying to catch up. They're trying not to fall victim to, you know, the biological, you know, the inevitableness of biology. You know, if you are outnumbered in the world, then you have to protect your stock, you know, your race. So in order to do that, not only do they have to encourage fertility in their own community, but they also have to discourage fertility in those communities, the communities they are competing against, which the African American or just the Pan-African community as a whole is one of those communities they are trying to discourage fertility in and actually actively having a hand in decreasing our fertility through these vaccination programs, through the food, of course, because they're putting these different chemicals and things in the food and the vaccines and the water, you know, and targeting our communities in a way that, you know, the food and the water and the products, the medications and things that are available to us are tainted with these anti-fertility chemicals, whereas if you go into populations or if you go into establishments that service the European community, they are not going to be laden with these things. In fact, they're going to be promoting the fertility of those populations. So to get into that, and I wanted to kind of, and since I was talking about my brother Kitty, and he has come out with some really wonderful books, like, and they're not like difficult reads. They're kind of like I want to say a snapshot. He's getting into a lot of information, but this is just the beginning when you start to read some of his books. But he has these books called The Conscious Roster Report, and it gives you great information in the palm of your hand. And he has this one book that is called Missing Assets that I love because it talks about the fertility. It talks about the anti-fertility movement in African populations, as well as the, you know, it talks about eugenics. It talks about the need for us to be more conscious about these birth control movements and our own fertility efforts, and then other people's efforts to our infertility. So I would say anybody go and look up the Conscious Roster Report and support Brother Kitty and that work, research for us in that. So I wanted to read from this pamphlet called The Missing Assets that he wrote, and he is talking about the African idea of fertility and how culturally we prize children, we prize family, and we prize village. So I'm just going to read a little paragraph from this Missing Assets report. So he says, in Africa and other traditional societies, there's always been the concept of the village. The village stands as a broader family or clan entity. Within such a society, certain individual functions were relegated to the needs of the collective. Let me illustrate a few key points. Within the village, the womb of the childbearing age woman was considered an extension of her clan, and thus she could not shame herself by defiling her procreative nature. Using sex for recreation or as a marketable commodity, in the Western world, the exact opposite has come to bear. Within a village, a male was brought to manhood through a complex ritual process of education, instruction from older men and initiation, and it was only after initiation that he could begin engaging in sexual activity with a childbearing age female. Within the village, the deviant procreative behaviors such as homosexuality, bestiality, sex addiction, and other perverted manifestations were deemed as unhealthy to the collective and thus intolerable. Within the village, qualified childbearing age youth were encouraged to participate in activities which led to bonding and marriage, and older persons were discouraged from engaging along with those youth. In Western culture, sexual predators of virtually any age can pursue any object of their desire as long as the prey has reached the quote unquote age of consent, which you hear a lot of that in the as people's defense out here for being engaged in child abuse. Then the village, every child born was looked upon as a source of wealth to the clan, and women who bore the greatest number of children were elevated to queen status within the group. In the U.S., a woman is looked down upon if she has three or more children, unless she has a scientifically enhanced litter, like we've seen in the news with some of these white women that are having litters of children. Within the village, it was a great accomplishment to be surrounded at death by a large number of adoring grandchildren. In America, it is only half jokingly claimed that he who dies with the most toys wins. Within the village, the interests of the family took precedence over the interests of government. Increasingly in the Western world, the omnipresent state is assuming control over issues pertaining to childbearing and the rearing of children to adulthood. So those are just some of the things that contrast the traditional African perspective of children being fertile, having family, and, you know, the contrast to what Western society instills in us, being anti-fertility, anti-family, you know, shaming people or kind of having the stigma against people who have multiple children or who want to have multiple children. A lot of the culture is anti-fertility because, you know, of course, with homosexuality, you can't reproduce. So it's not something that is advantageous if you are trying to protect your people, your race, from the potential onslaught of people who are trying to reduce your population. So we just have to look at these things critically. The you know, feminist movements, abortion movements, these sterilization programs that are happening behind the backs of many communities. We have to look at that. So with no further ado, how are we going to use, you know, our own homes, our own lifestyle as a way to combat this anti-fertility movement that's going on within Western society for African people? The way that we do that, that we're going to talk about today, one way that we can do that is through our food. Now, when you adopt a diet or when you incorporate a diet that's for fertility, this is one of the most revolutionary things you can do. Now, when especially if you're having challenges with fertility, you may be considering fertility treatments. Now, when most think of fertility treatment, we imagine sophisticated diagnostic testing, powerful medications, and high-tech procedures. You know, that's what people think of when they're considering having some kind of fertility treatment. But choosing certain foods and drinks and herbs and things to influence your ability to become pregnant sounds more like, you know, it may sound like folktale wisdom or outdated wisdom when you contrast it to the conventional medical approach. But really, eating a diet in preparation for pregnancy and to boost fertility is revolutionary. And numerous studies have shown that specific changes to the diet can increase the chances of healthy ovulation, prevent recurrent miscarriages, and support spermatogenesis and the male reproductive system, all to ensure a healthy pregnancy occurs. Now, nutrition plays a big role when it comes to having a healthy body and reproductive system. And the building blocks for hormones are found in the foods that we eat. And hormones are integral when it comes to fertility. Antioxidants, which help to protect the egg and the sperm from free radicals, are found in many of the foods that we eat that are whole. You know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, those are going to contain those elements. Just as nutrients in fertility, there are some foods and chemicals added to foods that can be harmful for your healthy fertility. And we're going to talk about all that right now. So the first food I have on my list because it's economical and it's abundant here that we can get, and it's delicious, and that's bananas. Bananas are one of the most important fertility foods that I could recommend. And the reason for this is because it is chock full of B vitamins, and B vitamins are really important when it comes to cellular metabolism and hormone production, and specifically those hormones that are required for fertility. Now, the most abundant vitamin in bananas is actually B6, and B6 deficiency has actually been shown in many studies to lead to irregular menstruation, irregular ovulation, and it can also lead to poor egg and sperm development. So eating about, you know, 2 to 3 bananas to start with a day can actually help you get those daily required amounts of the B vitamins you need in order to regulate those hormones through the addition of the B vitamins. So you can add bananas to any food that you wish. You can put them in smoothies. You can use them in baking. You can use them as egg replacements for things. You can use them to sweeten dishes, you know, instead of using sugar. And we're going to talk about sugar later. But bananas are just awesome. They're very versatile. You can just eat them. Eat them for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Bananas are very, very good for you. And make sure your bananas are ripe. Green bananas are unripe. Yellow bananas with no spots are unripe, and you don't want to consume them in this state because ripeness means that the sugars and the vitamins and minerals in that plant have come into maturation and they are now bioavailable to the body. So this is, even though people may usually look at a banana that has a couple spots and say, ooh, it's bad, and throw it away, no, don't throw that away. Use that in something, even if it's very brown. You can still put it in a smoothie. You can still use it to sweeten something. Just get the bananas that are ripe. So bananas are the first thing on the list for fertility that I recommend. Next thing is asparagus. And asparagus is actually something that I never liked growing up. But when I'm able to put it in something or people can prepare it in a way to where I don't know asparagus is in there, I'll eat it. But studies have found that folic acid is very abundant in asparagus. And folic acid, and I'm sure many people know this by now because there's been a big movement, you know, in this country to increase the folic acid in the diet of childbearing, of women of childbearing age, in order to reduce the risk of neural tube defects. Now, not only does folic acid help to reduce the risk of neural tube defects, it also helps reduce the risk of ovulatory failure. So those women who are having problems with ovulation, who are having irregular ovulation, they can eat asparagus, which contains a lot of folic acid, and it can help to regulate that. Women are also strongly advised to take folic acid supplements in order to conceive, but you don't really have to do that if your diet consists of folic acid-rich foods like asparagus. And pretty much any other green leafy vegetable will have folic acid. Asparagus has it in high amounts. Other vegetables that have folic acid in high amounts, or not folic acid, folic acid is a man-made chemical. You want folate. Folate is what is found in asparagus and in other plants, which is converted then into that usable folic acid in the body. So green leafy vegetables like kale, collard greens, mustard greens, chard, spinach, you name it. They all have natural occurring folate in it that will be used in the body to reduce the ovulatory failure and neural tube defects in creating the baby. Now, the next food I have on my list that's very important is sea vegetables. And sea vegetables have an abundance of B vitamins in them as well as essential fatty acids like omega-3, and they have that controversial B vitamin called B12 in abundance in them. Now, studies have suggested a link between B12 deficiency and abnormal hormone levels that may interfere with implantation and hence fertility. So you need, in order to have a pregnancy occur, that fertilized egg has to implant into the uterus, in the line of the uterus. So a lot of women who are not able to maintain a pregnancy have problems with this implantation. So sea vegetables with that B12 in them actually helps to increase the likelihood that implantation will occur and follow through. B12 may also help to strengthen the endometrium lining in egg fertilization. So not only is it helping with the egg actually implanting, but it's actually strengthening and toning the endometrium, which is the lining of the uterus, so that it is more conducive to implantation. B12 is also good for the mother to take because it will assist after conception, once the pregnancy is underway, with the nervous system development of the baby. So sea vegetables are just really great for everyone to add into their diet, men and women, but for the sister especially, it will help with preparing the womb for pregnancy. Now, citrus fruits, with their main nutrient being vitamin C, are very, very beneficial for preconception. Now, a study in which infertile men were given 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice daily, they found that their sperm count and motility, which is the ability of the sperm to move properly towards the egg, was improved. Now, the vitamin is also said to improve hormone balance in women, not to mention that vitamin C is an antioxidant. And remember, I always talk about antioxidants. They dispel free radicals. And remember, oxidation of the tissues, of the cells, is what causes cell aging and cell degradation, which leads to degradation of tissues. So in order to keep the womb healthful and free of any kind of degeneration or any part of the body, especially those hormone-producing glands like the ovaries, the thyroid, all those glands that produce the hormones necessary for fertility, in order to make sure that they are free of any kind of toxins or free radicals that would hinder their function, you want to eat foods that are highly antioxidant. And citrus fruits, which contain vitamin C, is a great way to ensure that that's happening. Free radicals can also hinder sperm motility as well. Again, another reason to incorporate citrus fruit with the vitamin C into the diet. Now, let's talk about nuts, seeds, legumes, and sprouts. All of these nuts, seeds, legumes, and sprouts are abundant in vitamin E and healthy fats. Now, numerous studies suggest that good amounts of vitamin E in the diet can significantly improve the male reproductive system. A deficiency of vitamin E has also been shown to be linked to infertility in female animal studies. Vitamin E is also an antioxidant that helps to protect sperm and egg DNA from free radical damage. Another great thing about nuts and seeds is that they provide the parents-to-be with fertility-boosting B vitamins. Remember, B vitamins help with those cellular and metabolic processes that are needed in order for fertility to be effective or just to occur, especially B6. B6 is very abundant in nuts, seeds, grains, and legumes. So you want to make sure that you're getting those in the diet to help with the sperm and the egg functionality. Nuts, seeds, legumes, and sprouts also contain protein-building amino acids. Remember, they're very proteinaceous, and they're going to contain concentrated amounts of those amino acids that we need, especially if you're planning on conceiving a child. You have to make sure that you have all the necessary proteins built so that the fetus can develop as optimally as possible. Also, healthful fats are in these foods, in the nuts, seeds, legumes, and healthy fats are needed for hormone production. That's what hormones are made from, along with amino acids, you know, because they form the proteins that create the hormone. But fats are just as important in hormone creation as amino acids or protein. And then essential fatty acids are also needed for gland health, the glands that secrete the estrogens and the androgens and progesterones and follicle-stimulating hormones and all of that. They need essential fatty acids to function properly. So when we have a deficient amount of these essential fatty acids, like omega-3 fatty acids, and then we have evidence of those inflammatory and disadvantageous fatty acids, such as the trans fats that come in fast foods, overly processed foods, the partially hydrogenated and the fully hydrogenated vegetable oils, these highly refined cooking oils and things of that nature, all of those things contribute to the disadvantageous fat that makes less than optimal for fertility, as well as in the man and the woman. So make sure that you're getting nuts, seeds, and legumes into your diet to get those healthy fats. Also, these nuts, seeds, and legumes will also give you healthy fiber in the diet in abundance, which will assist in the elimination system with moving those toxins out of the body. So if you're already getting rid of toxins, you need to make sure that they are being released from the body as optimally as possible, because you don't want anything recirculated into the body once you have released it. Let's see if there's anything else I want to say about that. Oh, also, legumes, nuts and seeds, and sprouts are chock full of other minerals that are needed for conception, such as selenium, magnesium, calcium, manganese, potassium. All of these things are needed. Zinc and iron also are very, very important for fertility. Studies have shown that women who do not get sufficient amounts of iron may suffer lack of ovulation and possibly poor egg health. So iron is very important. And this does not leave men out of the picture. Brothers that have been that if you're deficient in iron, you can also have low motility and have abnormal spermatogenesis. Sorry, I got tongue-tied. So spermatogenesis, remember, is the production of sperm in the testes. So when you don't have sufficient amounts of iron in the diet, you can get these abnormally shaped sperm that have decreased motility, that don't have as good of an affinity to the egg as they should have, which means they're not going to move towards the egg as much as often as they should. So making sure that iron is in the diet will help to ensure that that doesn't happen. And all of this, of course, can inhibit pregnancy. It's been shown in studies that women and men who have deficient iron in their diet, so if you are prone to anemia and either you've been diagnosed with anemia and maybe your mate has been diagnosed with anemia before or you're prone to it, you can actually inhibit pregnancy by 60% or higher just because of anemia. So this is a problem in our communities, this anemia situation. A lot of it is because of the malnutrition. Even though we have food, doesn't mean that the food is nutrient dense. So 60% reduced rate of pregnancy can happen if you are anemic. So making sure, and it doesn't have to be clinically anemic. Like, you don't have to actually have anemia that shows up on a blood test, because remember, the standard of blood testing in conventional medical facilities is going to be that standard that is for the dominant population, which is the European population. African people, we require some nutrients in more abundance than Europeans. So I know even in my case, I've seen my own blood work be, it will show that I am, you know, within normal range as far as my blood iron, but I don't feel like my blood range of iron is optimal. I have the symptoms of anemia, and I know that I'm, you know, that at the time when I did this blood work, my diet wasn't supplying me with enough minerals like iron so that I wouldn't be anemic. But the test was saying I was fine, so they were like, "Oh, well, it's probably something else." No, because everything else was cool. I know that once I change my diet, you know, and some more of these minerals like iron, I'll be okay. And I did that, and I felt better. So this was some years ago. I struggled with it because anemia runs in my family as well. So these are things that we have to think about when we are looking to conceive, and it can present problems when we're trying to conceive. And if this is something that you've had a challenge with in your family, then potentially increasing the iron-rich foods would be very helpful. Iron-rich foods include things like green leafy vegetables, roots like parsley root, what else, jicama, also things like any of your dark, vibrantly colored fruits and vegetables like chard, bell pepper, nuts and seeds are, of course, like we're talking about now. Nuts, seeds, and legumes contain abundant sources of iron. And making sure that you're eating things with vitamin C in them will help you to absorb the iron much better. So let's say you have some chickpeas. This is a very, very high iron legume that is actually very alkaline. You can eat those chickpeas in a dish that consists of bell peppers, because bell peppers are a very high vitamin C-rich food, so that will help with the iron absorption from the iron-rich food. So just be cognizant of that when you are looking to conceive, you guys. Also, increasing zinc levels in infertile men has been shown to boost sperm levels. And nuts, seeds, and legumes, and sprouts have high amounts of zinc in them. So let's see. Zinc has also been shown to improve the form, function, and quality of male sperm, and decrease the amount of sperm that is actually produced. So for women, a lack of zinc can actually lead to an imbalance of oestrogen and progesterone, which are needed for fertility. So again, both men and women need to incorporate zinc-rich foods into their diet. So more nuts, more legumes, more seeds in the diet will help with supplying that to you. Now, like I said, sources of these iron, mineral, and zinc and selenium and all those minerals and things that we want, all those kinds of foods that are rich in those include things like chickpeas, lentils, sprouts of all kinds. So it could be clover sprouts, you know, it could be any kind of sprouts. Flax seeds, hemp seeds, sesame seeds, walnuts, chia seeds, Brazil nuts, you name it. All of those nuts and seeds are going to contain those types of nutrients. Now, let's talk about whole grains. We talked about legumes, nuts and seeds, let's talk about whole grains. Now, eat only grains in their whole form, their natural form. Whole grains are filled with fiber, important B vitamins like B6 and folic acid, and immune-supporting properties are in these grains because they consist of all of these nutrients. So it supports the immune system so that the immune system is not creating any unnecessary inflammation, any unnecessary kind of like a hypersensitive reaction to things in the environment. So it'll be toned and controlled. You want to consume these foods that have these B vitamins and anti-inflammatory agents in them, like whole grains. Fiber, which is also abundant in whole grains, fiber, which is also abundant in whole grains, is important for helping the body to get rid of excess hormones, and it helps to keep the blood sugar balanced. I'm going to talk about blood sugar and just sugar in general in a minute, but you have to make sure that you don't include a lot of excess sugar into your diet, especially those refined sugars. You should avoid processed and refined grain products like the white foods. Then I've talked about the white foods in other shows, but these are foods that are made with refined grain flours like white bread, semolina pasta, white rice, things you do not want to consume if you're looking to do a preconception type of diet. Instead, choose whole alkaline grains like wild rice, spelt, kamut, quinoa, teff, and buckwheat, just to name a few, and change your breads to sprouted bread if you must have, packaged bread, and find pasta alternatives and other alternatives to the things that you usually use these grain products for. You look for the alternatives made from those alkaline whole grains, like the ones that I mentioned. Or you can buy the flour of these grains, like amaranth flour, kamut spelt flour, and make your own products. So make sure to read. If you are going to buy these prepackaged whole grain products, make sure to read the labels to ensure that they're not laden with any refined wheats or sugars, because they like to do that. They like to say that things are, they market that as that something is a whole grain product, natural and all that. But then when you look at the label, it actually says that it contains way more than just this whole grain, because they like to hook people and make people addicted to things. They'll take a whole grain and add wheat to it and sugar and a bunch of other things that make it completely, void of nutrition. So just be cognizant of that. The next thing that I have on my list is to drink lots of clean water. Hydration it should have been number one on my list, but hydration is absolutely important for fertility. Be sure to drink at least half your body weight in ounces of spring water daily. Every biological function, pretty much every biological function, needs water in order to take place. So dehydration leads to a host of health problems, with infertility being one of them. Now, reverse osmosis and distilled waters are very harsh on the body, and this is due to the fact that they've been stripped of all of their minerals. So they're now what I like to call dead water. So when this dead water is ingested, it can actually leach the body of mineral reserves, contributing to deficiencies in those minerals. So I would advise against getting distilled and reverse osmosis water for intake, most of the time. Now, alkaline water is also better to drink in the distilled or the RO waters, but it's not necessary to go out of your way to buy alkaline water. You can make your own alkaline water actually at home by infusing fruits or vegetables into your spring water. For example, cucumber water is a powerfully cleansing and hydrating water to make, because cucumber contains chlorophyll, it contains vitamin C, and it contains those fertility-boosting B vitamins that we need. So you can just cut up some cucumber, get a jar or like a large pitcher that's glass or some other kind of non-plastic material, and infuse your water in that. Just put the cucumber in the container, fill it with water, and then let it sit in the fridge overnight, and then the next day you can consume your cucumber water. You can also do it with grapes. You can do this with citrus fruits. You can do this with any berry, that you like. All of that's going to help to just infuse your water not only with nutrients, but it's also going to make it more alkaline. So that's a way for you to make your own alkaline water and not have to go out of your way and buy these crazy designer alkaline waters that, it's just not necessary. Another thing to note is that if you have been having a lot of challenges with conceiving and your fertility has been very challenged, then it might be a good idea to do your best to avoid bottled water as some of the plastics in the bottle can contribute to hormonal imbalance due to their estrogen-mimicking effects that are in the chemicals found in plastics. So these chemicals can also affect sperm motility and should be avoided by the brothers also. So in this case, if you are, you know, because some, and people are more sensitive to things than others, really all of us should not be eating or drinking things out of plastic. It would be optimal for us to never have to eat out of anything plastic or package our food or put our food in things that are plastic. But, you know, I know that that's something that most of us have in our homes because plastics really just do degrade no matter how sturdy they look. They degrade into the food and they create these chemical compounds in the body that interfere with hormone signaling, especially those hormones that deal with fertility. So if you are especially challenged in your fertility and trying to conceive, it would be a good idea to avoid these plastics. Both the man and the woman should do it in order to have the most powerful effect. In this case, replace the plastic water containers with glass ones, such as for like water tanks or storing water. You want to put your water in a glass container, some kind of non-plastic container. And if you must store water in a plastic container, then try to find BPA-free containers at health food stores or online, especially if you're looking for those larger ones. Go online and find BPA-free water jugs or water containers, water bottles. You know, and of course, avoid tap water. You know, I shouldn't have to say it, but I think that there are still some people out there that think that their tap water is okay to drink. Don't drink the tap water. As many recent studies have shown, tap water is laced with harmful pesticides, agricultural runoff, you know, parasites. Tap water is just not good. And also, if you have a challenge with buying water or you don't want to purchase bottled water at all, like you just find it, you know, outside of what you can do to purchase bottled water and you don't want, or you're like me and you're just outraged by the fact that you even have to buy water, you can actually put filters in all the respective sinks that you consume water out of, and that way the water that comes out of that faucet will be purified. You can even go a step further and obtain or invest in a great quality filter for the house, like a water purification system for the house, so that you put it on to the water, you attach it to the water line of the whole house, so that that all the water that comes out of the shower, out of the sinks, will be purified. So you can go online again and research which water purification system would be best for your home so that you don't have to worry about having to buy water. All you have to do is just make sure you change the filters out, you know, every year or 2 years, however long that filter system lasts. So and a lot of those water systems, too, they come with warranties where they actually replace the filter for you after the allotted time. And some of them have some good programs. So I would say research those things for your home if you're interested in that. I mentioned that already. Okay, so yes, purified or pure drinking water is necessary. Plastics, please avoid those. Oh, also, I do want to say something else about plastics. No one should ever microwave or heat food or place hot foods or drinks in plastic containers. That is a no-no, because this heating process will degrade the plastic into your food, thus releasing and enhancing those chemicals from the plastic into your system. So if you are a woman of childbearing age, and you've been microwaving your food in plastic containers, nah-uh. That is a surefire way to reduce your fertility. Not saying that you can't have a baby and you've been doing that. Many people have had babies that heat their food in plastic containers. But do we really want to, now that we know better? You know what I'm saying? Especially if you've been having fertility challenges. Stop it now. No hot heat and plastic don't mix. even cold and plastic don't mix. That's why it's also not great to store food in plastic containers in the fridge, even though all of us got Tupperware, right? We all have Tupperware. And, yes, the harder plastics are a little better than those soft plastics that are like the Saran wrap and those, like, milk jug type containers that have that soft, pliable plastic. Those, the hard plastics are better, but it is optimal, especially if you're having fertility challenges, to find alternative containers, glass containers, ceramic, wooden, you know, find something, invest in that because your body will thank you. And when you think about it, it's actually, your body actually metabolizes plastic quickly. It's water soluble, so you can actually pee out all of the plastic that you have consumed for the day, you know, in the amounts that you consumed it. But the problem is that we are constantly consuming plastic. So it's basically in our body all the time. There's never a break in when we don't have plastic in our body because everything has plastic in it that we use. So giving your body a break from plastic. This is why a lot of times when people go to different countries and they're not eating food from containers, they're eating foods fresh, you know, even if they're eating meat and things like that, they feel better because the plastics, believe it or not, create a lot of stress on the body. And once you have had a few days of freedom, you know, once the body has had a few days of freedom from those recirculating plastics, it just allows all this healing to occur. So I want people to maybe try to do a plastic fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you've eliminated all the food, you know, and once you've consumed the food that are currently being housed in plastic in your house, you know, like in the fridge, for example, try to see if you can eat food that are completely fresh, purchase a few containers that are not plastic or BPA-free, and see how you do and how you feel once you haven't been consuming those plastics for a while. So yeah, I had to kind of rant off on plastics because it's just so detrimental to fertility, and I want people to understand that. Now, again, we're coming up to the last 10 minutes of the show. Just a reminder for those of you who have any questions or comments or concerns and want to call me or call into the show before it's over, the number is 646-716-7572, and press the number 1 if you want to raise your hand, and we'll get to you. But if nobody has a question, I'm going to continue to get the rest of the information in. Now that we've talked about the foods that are optimal and good for fertility, let's talk about some foods to avoid. Now, the first thing on my list for fertility is to avoid or limit animal proteins or meat, including dairy. Too much meat increases the amount of ammonia in the body, period. And excess ammonia in the body can interfere with the implantation of the egg in the uterus. Red meat and dairy especially can also be detrimental for men as it increases acidity and affects sperm activity. Sperm perform better in alkaline conditions. So if you are trying to conceive, if you're having challenges, try eliminating animal proteins from the diet, including dairy, for a while, including eggs, and see if that helps. And you should do this for a season at least, which is 3 months, because that's how long it usually takes for the body to acclimate to a change in diet, so that you can actually see the deeper results that you can get from the diet. Of course, you'll feel better initially. You know, your skin will look better. You know, you'll feel like your energy is increasing. But for things like fertility, you may need to give it a season, which is about 3 months. Also, conventionally raised meat and dairy, you know, they all are full of antibiotics, hormones, you know, all of these things that increase the appearance of the meat. Like dyes, they actually dye the meat so that it doesn't look old and haggard like it really is, and deficient like it really is. They dye the meat red, for those of you who don't know. Also, you know, these things have detrimental effects on hormone balance and health, causing a hindrance in fertility. So animal proteins are just, you know, yes, people eat meat and have babies all the time, but if we know better, and if we're having fertility challenges, if you are actually having a challenge with fertility, it would behoove you to try to avoid or eliminate these animal proteins from your diet. Now, if you must consume animal proteins, limit it to, you know, 2 times a week, because even in traditional Africa, where everybody likes to say, oh, but our ancestors did eat meat. Well, we weren't eating meat in our ancient, you know, our ancient ancestors weren't eating meat like that. And we damn sure wasn't eating meat like how we eat it today, to where we eat it every single day. Everybody has a large portion of meat. So if you do want to eat meat like how people in Africa used to eat meat, you're not going to eat it every day. So limit your meat consumption to 2 times a week. And you can actually see improvements in fertility just by doing that. Now, optimal diet would be a plant-based diet, because plant-based diets have been shown in studies to increase fertility. Because, again, your body has to deal with all that excess ammonia, the excess acidity, and that's just more stressful for, you know, for pregnancy to occur. So if you don't have to put your body through it, then don't, especially if you have had, you know, recurrent miscarriages. If you haven't been able to get pregnant, try it for a season and see how it works for you. Of course, with everything else taken into consideration that I've discussed already as well. Now, let's talk about refined sugar. Too much refined sugar in the diet can lead to insulin resistance and weight gain. Too much weight gain, just like how being underweight can make your reproductive cycle irregular, causes you to ovulate only now and then or not at all. So making sure that your diet does not contain a lot of these refined sugars is very important. What's more is that excess sugar in the diet can cause or exacerbate PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's a condition that affects ovulation, because what it does is basically your ovaries are producing many of these immature follicles, or these immature eggs. And these eggs are never actually becoming mature enough to be released into ovulation. Your ovaries are just producing all these little immature eggs over and over again, and it causes the ovaries to ache, to be painful, or to swell. And so with that, fertility is not going to happen. Now, sources of these refined sugars include white sugar, brown sugar, turbinado, sucanat, evaporated raw cane juice, or any sugar, evaporated raw cane sugar. Even a lot of these agave syrups are very, very highly refined. They're just as bad, if not the same, as high fructose corn syrup. Fructose that you see labeled in food products, you know, fructose as an ingredient is basically just another refined sugar. If you want real fructose, just eat an orange or eat an apple. You don't need to say, oh, well, this has fructose and it's natural. No. It's an extracted chemical that is a refined sugar. So just make sure that you're reading the labels. Also, bottled juices, or, you know, all these bottled juices or pasteurized juices are no. And I see a lot of our people consuming these juices and box juices, Capri Sun, bottled juices, pasteurized juices, such as like the apple juice, orange juice, box and bottled juices. They all contain concentrated sugar, and the process their processing makes them a concentrated sugar. And this is mainly due to the fact that in the pasteurization process, these once fresh juices, so these did used to be apple juice, orange juice, you know, grape juice, but in the pasteurization process, they are cooked for long periods of time at high temperatures in order to lengthen their shelf life. So what happens when you continue to cook something like a fruit juice, you cook off that water, you denature the enzymes and the antioxidants and all of the good nutrients that are in it, and you're left with this high concentrated sugary watery substance. But it's not juice anymore. It's like a high sugar content liquid. That's what it is. It's not a syrup because it's not viscous, but it's this really sugary liquid, and it's not juice anymore. But these used-to-be juices can throw off your blood sugar levels, too, the same way that table sugar can or high-fructose corn syrup can. And, you know, when your blood sugar is thrown off from these juices, that can also negatively affect your immune and then your fertility. So some, you know, so people drink these juices, you know, that are promoted to be healthier, like these V8 Splash and Tropicana and, you know, all these, if it's pasteurized, it's still the same as any other conventional orange juice or apple juice, especially if you're getting these clear juices, like the apple juices that are clear. You know the thing has been refined because apple juice, if you've ever juiced a fresh apple, you know that it's going to have a lot of cinnamon, it's going to have a lot of fiber, it's going to be, you know, it's going to have all these other things in it because it's alive and it has nutrition that is supposed to be taken up by the body. Now, some alternatives for sweeteners include, of course, fresh juice, you know, juicing your own apples or grapes or whatever. And then you can use stevia. That's the next thing that I would recommend. Now, the next two that I'm going to mention depend on the person's body, honey and maple syrup. Everybody's body is different. So one person can be sensitive to something that another person might not be. So honey and syrup, they are still more refined sugar products because with maple syrup, if you've ever actually tapped a maple tree, that sap that comes from the maple tree is like it's a clear, more watery liquid. It's not brown like how the maple syrup that we see when we buy it looks. So they have to cook that sap down. They have to cook a lot of the water out of it in order for it to get down to this brown syrup. So it's still very high in sugar, but it is way less detrimental to you than, say, agave or cane sugar, you know, and all these other types of turbinados and sucanats and things. Honey is another one. Honey is still refined technically because it is a pre-digested food. So bees basically take up the pollen and the things that they've consumed, and they digest it. They partially digest it, and then they regurgitate it. And the regurgitated pollen and all the other materials that the bee ate is honey. And the reason that it's so sweet is because the same way that when we digest, we break down everything to its simplest form, which is sugar, the same thing happens in the stomach of the bee, which has all these little enzymes in it that break down all the fiber and all the starch from the pollen. So it's no longer this not-so-sweet kind of starchy-tasting thing. It's now this very sweet, sugary substance, because now it's been broken down to its simplest form. And there's a lot of fructose in honey, natural fructose from the flower. So, and then, but the thing about honey that makes it so much better is that it's not cooked. It's still raw. This is if you're buying raw honey that's still semi-solid, has some of the wax and the pollen sediment in it. It's still, and the pollen and the antimicrobial antioxidant components in it that are helpful. But of course, everything in moderation. Whether you're eating honey or maple syrup, you shouldn't eat it every day. You shouldn't use like heaping tablespoons of it every day in food. You should just use it very sparingly to sweeten tea or to, you know, maybe sweeten a dessert every once in a while, but it shouldn't be consumed all the time. For everyday sweeteners, something that you can use all the time, I would use stevia. You can use dried fruit. You can use fresh fruit. You can use fruit juices to sweeten things. You can use crushed apple sauce and things for baking and making sweet desserts and things. So just be creative in using the most healthful sweeteners that you can so that you are not compromising your fertility, even though you want to have a nice, healthful dessert or a sweet dish. So let's see. The next thing I want to talk about is alcohol and caffeine. So drinking too much coffee or too much alcohol can impair a woman's fertility, period. So many studies in the United States and internationally, actually, most of them have been internationally, they have found that drinking more than 5 cups of coffee a day, the equivalent of about 500 milligrams of caffeine, is associated with lower fertility. Studies in Europe on alcohol intake and women's fertility have produced mixed findings, though. But Swedish researchers have found that women who drank 2 alcoholic beverages a day decreased their fertility by nearly 60%. Now, these are white women. So, you know, how that affects sisters, you know, it's probably more so because now we have to think about how our affinity because of the melanin or the carbon that we have in our bodies being more having more of an affinity to a lot of these phenolic compounds that are in alcohol, that are in caffeine. So if these European women are being affected 60% by or decreasing their fertility by 60% by drinking alcohol and caffeine, then you know we have to take into account that we are even more, have more affinity to some of these things biochemically that have an adverse effect on our fertility. Now, I pointed out that many of these studies were international for a reason. So we have to look at the portion sizes in other countries when we're trying to apply the research done to portion sizes here in America. So in most Western countries, like where we live, because I'm trying to compare it to where most of us live that, you know, I think that listen to the show, but we're in the U.S., most other Western countries drink a range of about 8 to 12 grams of alcohol, and they call that a standard drink or a glass. But the exception is in the U.S., where the ratio is supersized to about 14 grams to 17 grams being a glass. So somebody saying, oh, two glasses of wine has not been shown to affect fertility. Well, who's doing the study? If people in Europe who are doing a lot of these studies are drinking just 8 grams or 10 grams of wine and they're calling that, you know, a glass, but a glass in the U.S. is 14 grams, you're drinking double, if not more, of what the studies are saying is safe for a pregnant woman to consume or for a woman who is looking to conceive to consume. So you pouring you a big old glass of wine every night is not going to help your fertility. You will, though, of course, want to cut out all alcohol completely once you're pregnant. And sometimes women drink these beverages, they might still be drinking them before they actually know that they're pregnant. So, again, you want to just be really conscious of the things you're putting in your body and say, is it worth it? Do I really need to have this wine or this coffee? You know, and then look for alternatives. If you must have a pick-me-up in the morning, you can drink green tea. Matcha green tea is actually a very low-caffeine beverage that you can drink or prepare for yourself that will give you a little boost in the morning, but it won't be so harsh as the caffeine stimulation that you get from coffee. Also, yerba mate is another tea that has natural amounts of caffeine that are not high and that are not in the amounts that coffee has. So, again, it will give you that pick-me-up, but it also gives you the nutrition that you need for energy. So it's not just stimulating you awake, but it's giving you B vitamins, it's giving you vitamin C and amino acids and things that you need for energy. So that's really where the energy comes from. Also, when you change your diet and you get rid of a lot of these offensive foods to the system, your energy will improve and you won't need coffee. Your sleep will be better. You'll wake refreshed. You know, so doing these things is not just going to help with fertility, but it's also going to help with other things as well. Really quick, I want to mention a few herbs that are good for fertility. So some herbs that are really good for that include red raspberry, which is, of course, nutritive, and a uterine repair, maca, which traditionally has been used to balance hormones in both men and women. Red clover is very good for cleansing the blood. It improves elimination, and it balances hormones. Dandelion, which is a really good liver supporter. So therefore, if it supports the liver, it supports detoxification. And the liver itself actually deals with balancing hormones and making sure there are not any excess hormones in the system. Also, ashwagandha is an Ayurvedic or a southern Indian traditional herb that is called one of the adaptogenic herbs. And it's an herb that regulates the stress response. So remember, when your body is stressed and it's under constant stress, your body is not going to release hormones and function in a natural way. So think about the stress response as being the flight or fight response. When an animal in nature is in a flight or fight response, all of the energy needed to run and to get away or to fight is being produced. Therefore, the body is taking away energy and resources from all all parts of the body that are not needed for that stress response. So, you know, it's taking the energy away from the reproductive system because you're not thinking about getting pregnant when you're trying to run away from a lion or a tiger. You know, in nature, this is what it would be. So even if you're not running away from lions and tigers, your job is stressing you out. So your body is saying, man, I have to run from this bear every day, and that bear is your job. So your body is going to take away energy from fertility production and then put it towards creating all these other stress hormones so that you can deal with the stress. You don't need that when you're trying to conceive a child. So, you know, taking a lot of these herbs, managing your stress. You know, you can take the herbs, but you have to make sure you're managing the stress and doing things that you need to do in your life so that you're reducing the stress. That is also going to help you get pregnant as well. I actually formulated a tea for both brothers and sisters. One of them is called the mommy-to-be, and the other one is called the daddy-to-be tea, and you can even get it in a formula. They actually consist of many of the herbs. Well, all the herbs I talked about today are pretty much in the formula, but other herbs are also included in order to create a special formula that is in a convenient tea or in a capsule form. If you want to get it in a tea form or a capsule form, you can pick either one. But it helps to assist men and women with fertility. So if you go to my website, askdradiro.weebly.com, you can go to my store and you can see the formula in either the tea or the capsule form. And if you are looking to conceive, if you're going to get into a preconceptive type of regimen for yourself, then it would be a great herbal product for you to own. Also, another food I want to talk about really quickly, or herb food, it's really a food, is Irish moss. Irish moss is like a very popular food in the Caribbean. The popular claim in Jamaica, I know, is, and in other parts of the Caribbean, is that men and women who consume a lot of Irish moss will increase their sexual prowess and their fertility. And this is most likely due to the fact that Irish moss, and along with other sea vegetables, well, Irish moss especially has a tonic effect on the sexual organs and on the hormones that deal with fertility. So Irish moss is another product that I actually do sell on my website. So those of you who are looking for a source to get your own Irish moss, I sell it in both 4 ounce as well as you can get a pound of Irish moss on my website. If you just go to askdradiro.weebly.com, you can go to my site and find the Irish moss in the product store. The last herb that I want to mention that is absolutely necessary for fertility is moringa. Every part of moringa is used for certain nutritional and or medicinal purposes. Besides it being a good source of amino acids to create proteins, it also contains vitamins like vitamin C, vitamin E. It has beta-carotenoids. It contains essential oils and omega-3 fatty acids, which are all needed for hormone production and regulation. Micro and pro minerals are abundant in moringa, like zinc, magnesium, selenium, potassium, and much more. B vitamins are abundant in moringa, which are needed for fertility, which is especially good if you make a tea with the loose leaves, because the B vitamins are water soluble, so it will be better released in the tea form, or if you like put it in a soup or something, so that it'll be more readily available to the body. I also sell moringa at my store, so if you are looking for a source, a resource to buy your moringa, I also sell moringa in 4 ounce or in a pound bag if you are looking for that at my store, askdradiro.weebly.com. So I got everything you need, y'all. I like to be a one-stop shop, so if you are looking for all of these fertility herbs, just go to my store, check them out for yourself, and get them. I like to hook up my people. I don't just talk about it. I want you to be about it. So I'm trying to help you. I say, oh, hey, sis. Hey, okay, I didn't know that you were on.
I just want to sit back, enjoying the show, listening to all this wonderful information that you have been given. And I mean, like, I have been enlightened on a whole nother level, you know, just listening into this show, just on other things in addition to, of course, you know, I don't have children yet, but I do, I would like to have children in the future. So this is very beneficial for me. And as well as listening in to you speak about iron and water, and it just, I have never been the one to be, I have never been, what is it called, anemic. I have never been anemic. And so all of a sudden I had started having symptoms of anemia, but I have more green vegetables and stuff that I've ever had in my diet today than before. So I was kind of like, why am I, you know, so, you know, I was having my yearly checkup and I asked, so I said, could you check for anemia, see if I'm anemic, and my iron is low. And, of course, my iron was like a half a point lower than what, you know, even though that isn't our, you know, but it kind of showed that I was low in iron. And I was
like
very
borderline,
confused. Yeah, so I was very confused. But as you're speaking, I know I used to drink, like, I used to buy, like, this really expensive, like, alkaline water and drink it all the time. And I used to drink spring water, but I kind of changed to purified water. And I'm thinking what's happening is because I'm not including those, because I drink so much water throughout the day, I'm thinking that because I'm not including those minerals in my water, that it's leaching my iron. That's the only thing
that would
make sense.
It could be,
Because it made no sense. I'm like, I've never been low in iron, and all of a sudden, and I did change the way I was drinking my water. You know, I
drink
purified water versus like spring water, which has like minerals, and I wasn't even adding additional like minerals and vitamins into my diet outside of just my, you know, my vegetables. So those who are, you know, that's something that I just, a light bulb went off as I was listening to you speak, and I'm like, that would make so much sense, because it was just really bothering me. Like, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, figure this out, because something just is off. That's the only thing different is the way I'm drinking my water, which I'm going to have to change it. I can't.
Yeah, just switch over to spring water. Yeah, try to just get you some spring water and then put, like, some cucumbers in there. So, like, you know, or any fruit in there.
Yeah,
oh,
I love
glad
cucumbers.
You mentioned that. I'm sorry. I just thought of something, too. So, sisters, when we are on our moon times, when we are having our menstruation time, we can lose a lot of minerals that way as well. So, if you are looking to conceive soon or in the near future, you want to make sure that you supplement yourself during that time. So, this is a great time to juice, especially green juices. Supplement those juices with like moringa powder, any kind of grass powders or your favorite green powders. This is just a really, really good time to make sure that you are replenishing what your body is releasing. This is especially true if you are a heavy bleeder. Even if you're not a heavy bleeder, you're still losing a lot. If you are bleeding heavily, if you have some womb issues that cause you to bleed heavily, we have to take care of those, and then also make sure that you are replenishing the iron and the minerals that are being lost from that blood. So juicing is really good to do throughout your menstrual cycle. Adding in the greens is very good to do through your menstrual cycle, and that will make sure that you are not so depleted after each menstrual cycle that fertility is not going to be as optimal once you are ready to conceive. So I just wanted to add that in there. Also, I was going to say about moringa, moringa is another good herb to take during that time as well. Moringa tea will help to supplement you during your menstrual cycle. Moringa also has various, like, flavonoid compounds and antioxidants that will help protect the sperm and the egg from environmental damage. So, because we also have to think about protecting those when they are, you know, before we conceive, they have to get to each other. So you have to make sure that both the environment of the man and both the environment of the woman internally is conducive to them doing what they need to do. And so environmental toxins in the form of free radicals, plastics, heavy metals, all these things can interfere with that. And we don't even know. We don't know. All we know is that we can't get pregnant, you know. But all of these things can come into account. And antioxidant-rich foods like moringa and all the other foods that I mentioned, they help to protect sperm and egg during that the process of finding each other or just existing within our bodies, so it can then support the internal environment so that once we're ready to conceive, they can do their thing. So that's pretty much all I have, you know. So like I said, just don't just listen to me. Please just take these things and incorporate them. You know, we need to have more African people on this world. We already have a bunch, but we need more, especially, you know, if you're listening
healthy,
to shows like this, you're conscious, right, you're conscious, and you want to raise up the most healthy and vibrant children as possible and giving them the best possible chance starts with what we do at their creation. And creation starts as soon as that egg and that sperm hit. So what's the internal environment going to be then? Because after you get pregnant, you can't do a whole bunch of cleansing and trying to change this and that, because then all the toxins that you try to cleanse is going to go straight to that baby. So that's when, so after you get pregnant, it's going to be all about nutrition and nurturing. You can't clean out yourself anymore. So make it right now.
Maybe you can do a show on that, too, sis, the follow-up maybe on nutrition for pregnancy, because I know too many sisters that was really depleted in their nutrients and stuff, like, you know, and well, it had reactions to taking those, what is it called, the prenatal pills.
The prenatal vitamin, because they're all
concentrated the prenatal vitamin.
I can absolutely do a show like that. But also, you know, the shows give you, you know, I can only give you so much information on the show, but
That's true.
I recommend and what I do in my practice is that I do preconception counseling. So those of you who are couples out there who are looking to conceive and looking for the best, you know, the best optimal plan for both of you, especially if you're having challenges, I do preconception counseling. So if you contact me via my website, which is askdradiro.weebly.com, or if you contact me at my Gmail, you can contact me at ask A S in Safflower K A D as in Diamond I R O at gmail.com. askdradiro@gmail.com. You can inquire about my fertility services. I can create formulas for people. I can put people on special diet plans, lifestyle plans to help with fertility. So hit me up and let me know what it is that you need, and I will absolutely assist you. Because like I said, I can only give you so much in an hour. You know,
that's
I can tell you about food,
yes,
but really getting into those personalized programs for each individual couple is so good. Yeah, but yeah, I would love to do a show on pregnant nutrition. I can do that next week, so maybe look out for that next week for sure.
Yes, awesome, sis. Great information. And as you stated, you can always contact us to get something that's fitting your situation, because listening to the show is very informative, but like for everyone is just the same. So you might
want
to set it to your needs and contact Dr. Zero. That's what she does. If she has all the tools to do so, you can always go on her website, order your herbs, everything. So this
that's right.
Show.
Thank you.
Wow. And I know everybody else enjoyed it as well, and I do apologize for coming in late, but I didn't
know.
I went back and listened in. I'm like, this morning, I didn't learn to do the right thing. Take notes to suck in some of this information. So I do want to thank you once again for doing what you do. And family, we do have a show coming up tomorrow. Like I said, the Empress of Tia. So if you want to check her out, please do so tomorrow at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 Central and 7 Eastern. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And we'll be back next Friday. Peace and love, my sister, and peace and love to the family.
Peace. Peace, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Dynasty Radio, 1380.